Welcome to the Audible Ecstasy Podcast. Each week we sit around and discuss the music from our past. Sometimes we agree.
I call it iconic. It's a 10. That riff is it's incredible.
Clearly a 10. This is one of the most iconic songs of the 80s.
Iconic from start to finish.
And sometimes we disagree.
The song sounds like something you might hear at your aunt's funeral.
The absolute worst lyrics ever.
With the juvenile flush on that one, I'm not dealing with that. I'm not dealing with that crap.
Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to this double bonus of a Songlines and Tan Lines podcast, an Audible Ecstasy podcast. Chris and Anthony are going to be going at it today, trying to enjoy and discuss this Coconut Telegraph album by Jimmy Buffett. I don't usually lead on these podcasts. It's usually our fearless leader, Jimmy.
You're doing a good job so far, man.
As I stumble and fumble through my words. But yeah, Jimmy usually normally runs this thing, and he's working the day or something. So we're doing Buffett, and he's working. Which is the more Buffett way to do today, man? Come on. It's be running recording a podcast, not working a job, man. But
yep. Well,
anyways,
we kind of teased Jimmy there a bit, saying we're going to do a Metallica album review, and if you guys knew Jimmy, he is. Anthony is to Buffett like Jimmy is to Metallica. It wouldn't be right to do a Metallica review without Jimmy on the episode. So anyway, I hope you listen and enjoy this one, Jimmy.
And if you're on Songlines, the Metallica album is the Garage Days 598 EP. You probably won't enjoy it if you like Buffett's music as much. But if you're a metalhead like me, you'll certainly enjoy it. So
yeah, I think there's some crossover in our fan bases. I think a lot of Gen X males, which is probably the bulk of this podcast listening group, probably likes both bands.
But that song Last Caress on that album can be a little tough if you're not used to aggressive metal.
That's true.
It's got some aggressive lyrics in it. But warning.
Well, Anthony, do you have a tagline today on this one? I have one if you don't.
I don't. Why would you do it today, man?
Well, I'll say this, and I do have this in my review, but I think my favorite line of any Buffett song ever is on this album, and it is, any manual labor I have done is purely by mistake.
So true, brother.
I think maybe that'll be my tagline on this one.
I've always, man, every time that line comes on, I'm like, I'm usually in the middle of doing something manual at the time, and I'm like, you know, this is a mistake doing this kind of work, man. It's either warehousing or factory work. But props to people who work in those departments because they run our country. And without them, you have to have manual labor to make this country run, unfortunately. But
that's true. Yeah.
I've done all those sorts of, you name it, I've done it. Push furniture. I've shoved plastic into machines. I've filed. I've worked in the back of Kmart's before. I have done chemical work and K chemical. I mean, I've done all kinds of manual labor, so I truly get that line, man. My occupational hazard is my occupation is not around, right? So,
That's anywho, a good album, but
we'll try and it's another album, A1A, but which we have covered on the podcast. So check that one out. But I'm gonna try and run this thing. So. I'm going to try and give the concert facts here, and where did my notes go? Well, I'm just going to start the song, then I'll go into the concert facts. My notes are not lining up for some reason this morning.
Sounds good.
Tuesday on the island, not much going on. Parties are all over. They ended just past dawn. The jungle drums are beating with the tales from late last night. The story's very heating for everyone's delight. You can hear them on a coconut telegraph. Can't keep nothing under their hat. You can hear them on the coconut telegraph saying, who did this and that? And that, this and that. Now I'm not one to deal in gossip,
But was he and that as the song fades out, here's some Wikipedia information on the album Coconut Telegraph. That's why I was having issues. My song had my Coconut Telegraph information at the top, and I couldn't find the song. So here we go. Wikipedia says this about Coconut Telegraph. It is the 10th studio album by Jimmy Buffett, released February 1981, and was produced by Norbert Putnam, who I think produced quite a bit of Jimmy's albums. In addition to songs written or co-written by Buffett, including one with J.D. Souther, the album includes the 1934 jazz standard, Stars Fell on Alabama, more on that later, penned by Mitchell Parrish and Frank Perkins, and It's My Job, written by Mac McAnally, the beginning of a long-term collaboration that would lead to McAnally becoming a member of Buffett's band eventually, and chart performance. Coconut Telegraph reached number 30 on the Billboard 200 album chart. The song It's My Job hit number 57 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles and would be the last appearance, this is crazy, on the chart for over 20 years until his 2003 duet with Alan Jackson's It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere. So, that's crazy to think about. His next hit was in 2003 after that, according to Wikipedia. So,
but you're talking about the album, right? Not the song.
I'm talking about the song. It's My Job. It's My Job. Oh. Hit number 57 on the Billboard, and it won't be until about 20 years later that he had another hit.
So, gotcha, yeah, okay.
And song one we just heard is Coconut Telegraph. It was played live 173 times. I feel like that one should be a little more. February of 81, first time, last time, March of 2023. So he got this one right in before he passed, so that's a interesting
note. Did he really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because March of 2023, it was only 4 or 5 months before, so he was still touring.
Yeah.
Even with all going on, he's still touring. So, yeah, 173 times for that one. I kind of think that one is another one that I feel like it should be bigger in concert. You know, you hear certain songs by Jimmy, and you're like, Coconut Telegraph, isn't it like 500, 600 plays in concert? But 173, according to Setlist FM. So, I guess we just discuss now on the song.
I was talking to Anthony about this beforehand. I didn't really want to put numbers on this. This is more of a kind of like a bonus episode where we just sit around and listen to this album and discuss our thoughts on it. You can say, you know, if I were going to put a score, it'd probably be this. We actually talked about this kind of before we started the episode, and Anthony was saying he might give this one a 10. I'm not sure I'd give this one a 10. I'd probably give it a 9 myself, but... What thoughts do you have on this one?
Well, I mean, when I think of Buffett perfection, I mean, it's damn near close to the top, man, for him. This is up there with all the big ones. Like I said, I think it probably should have been bigger in concert. I had a Coconut Telegraph newsletter that came in the mail years ago when I was first a Buffett fan. That Coconut Telegraph
like a fan club thing or something?
It was a fan club thing. I had a Coconut Telegraph thing at the top and had all the information and stuff long before newsletters and emails and stuff. So.
Yeah. That makes sense. I can see that. Yeah.
And, you know, Buffett routinely throws out Coconut Telegraph this, Coconut Telegraph this, you know, here and there with things. So it's a big one among this community. That's why I was kind of surprised by that number. But, yeah, it's an amazing song, man. If I had to put a 10, you can't beat this one, man. I mean, if I was going to introduce somebody, Jimmy Buffett, and they started listening to this song, I wouldn't turn it off. I'd say, yeah, keep going, you know.
I'm a little surprised that there were two singles on this album. This wasn't one of them. That said, I do like the two singles that are out there. As far as me, I wouldn't, you know, it's tough because we did restructure that the scale, and it doesn't have to be an iconic song, which I don't think this is really an iconic song. I don't know. Maybe it is. You're definitely the Buffett aficionado around here.
I would say it's more iconic in the Buffett realm. I would think that if we're putting a list together of Jimmy Buffett songs, that this will be very high on a lot of lists. Yeah, maybe not this top 10,
yeah,
top
exactly.
30, top 20, something like that.
Yeah. I do think there is a 10 on this album. We'll get to that later. But to me, I'd probably give this one a 9. I'll get to my notes on this. It's kind of short and sweet. I do think it's a great way to start the album. It really kind of drops you right in. You know, you look at this album cover, and it reminds you of this song because he's sitting there talking on a phone in a phone booth in 1980, probably.
It's 81.
On a pier out in the beach somewhere. I remember you told a story, Anthony. I think it was you, about how he, I don't remember which It was an earlier album we probably talked about how he called his producer from like a phone booth on a pier somewhere, and he wasn't even sure if he was going to have a job. Do you remember that? And it turned out being a big hit.
And when Come Monday hit or something like that?
Oh, yeah, I think it was. I wonder if this is that phone booth, do you think?
I don't know. Who knows?
How many phone booths are like that on a pier somewhere out in the Caribbean in 1980?
Or it could have been just like a where they just took a prop, put it out there, and they're like, this can make an interesting album cover.
Maybe.
This looks like a Coconut Telegraph sitting on a beach like this, you know, so.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good song. It kind of gets you in a good mood. It starts the album well. Kind of makes you think of what life was like for him on a Tuesday afternoon, just random day, hanging out with his friends, you know, kind of thing. So, good way to start the album.
Yeah. We'll get into the next one. You want to lead the song in, or do you want to just do the song?
Yeah, let's go ahead and tell the people what the song is, and then we'll
tell the people. Tell the people. Song two is Incommunicado. It was played live 27 times, so a deepish cut. First time in June of 1980, and last time played live was in June of 2016. Hit it, Chris.
Now on the day that John Wayne died, I found myself on the Continental Divide. Tell me, where do I go from here? Think I'll ride into Leadville and have a few beers. Think of Red River or Liberty Valance. Can't believe the old man's gone.
Tell me Buffett can't sing, but people. Tell me, listen to that. Excellent.
Leaving such a hole in a world that believed that a life with such bravado was taking the right way home.
That's a great tune, man. It just that's a hard one to rate, but I probably give that a 9. It's an excellent tune. Is it excellent or outstanding? Outstanding for us. I mean,
that's
9 is outstanding.
Dude, I don't know. They're all synonyms of each other at the end of the day. You just got to put it
anyways, that would be a 9 for me on our scale, man. That's just an amazing tune. I love Buffett's easy breezy songs like that to just turn on and just, you just mellow out to, you know, and it's hard not to be upset when that song is on. You just, when it comes on, you just kind of stop for a minute and you're just like, and you're just listening to it, man. So it's just another reason why I love the man's music, you know. So what are your thoughts on it, Chris?
Well, you know, I pulled that verse because of the John Wayne reference there, and it honestly made me feel so much about Buffett listening to it, you know, like can't believe the old man's gone kind of thing. It's just,
I know,
kind of hits differently listening to that song now. Very solid tune. Like you said, his vocals are really pretty good on this song. That's not, most of the time, Buffett's not a guy he's not Pavarotti out there trying to like hit you with high notes and everything, but he's one of the best songwriters in the world. And this is just an example of that, you know, he can make you feel things just listening to a song like that. And, I'd probably give this one, I'd say maybe a 7.5, 8, somewhere in there if I were rating it. Just trying to be honest, but I think it's a very good song, and it's one that kind of it's packed with emotion. Solid tune.
Yeah. It's amazing how some of those songs, lived to be an old man and we'll sail down to Martinique. How those songs hit differently now
when you're becoming an old man, you know, and that, like there's a line in there he's talking about living life with such bravado. I mean, that's Jimmy, man. That's Jimmy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I heard someone saying that Buffett one time was trying to put together, what song was that? It was a Beatles song, and he was like doing it in like an hour or two. And this guy, his guitar tech was like, aren't you afraid of making a fool of yourself? And Jimmy's like, you know, I'm not the best singer, I'm not the best guitar player, but I'm the best damn Jimmy Buffett you can be. And I know what I can do. Basically is what he told the guy. He's like, I know who Jimmy Buffett is. And nobody's going to mind what I'm doing right now. So, and that's just him, man. Bravado. He just, you know, anyways. But song three, It's My Job. And this started a big collaboration with Mac McAnally. It was played live 156 times. First time in February of 1981. And last time played live was in June of 2021. So fairly recently. Most of these got some fairly recent redos in concert. So
yeah.
Now I've been lazy most all my life.
Amen,
writing
brother.
Songs and sleeping late. And any manual labor I've done was purely by mistake. If street sweepers can smile, then I've got no right to feel upset. But sometimes I still forget till the lights go on and the stage is set and the song hits home and you feel that sweat. It's my job to be different than the rest, and that's enough a reason to go for me. It's my job to be better than the best, and that's a rough break for me. It's my job to be cleaning up this mess, and that's enough a reason to go for me. It's my job to be better than the best, and that makes a day for me.
And from songfacts.com, it had this to say about the song. After working as a session musician in Muscle Shoals, it's a lot of M's in a sentence, Alabama, McAnally moved to Los Angeles in the late 70s to pursue a recording career, but his first few albums went nowhere. In a Mississippi Public Broadcasting interview, McAnally explained how Buffett gave him the confidence to keep going. He said, "I didn't know Jimmy, but I knew he was a guy from Mississippi who had done well, and I learned a pirate looks at 40 on the guitar, and I respected him. And he sent me a note during a time when I was scared to death out there. Just might as well have been on Mars. He wrote me a little note that said, 'We're going to be friends, and we're both storytellers, and we're both from Mississippi, and you know, I'm going to be an advocate of your songs, and we're going to write music together.'" He went way beyond the call of having heard somebody's first record. And one little quick blurb, this was Buffett's sole Hot 100 entry of the 80s.
Crazy, isn't it?
Crazy, man. All these great songs in the 80s.
Wow. Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's interesting to hear his friendship with McAnally. He's just like, "I like your stuff, man. Let's do it. Let's have a little party together and have some fun." So, you know, just took him under his wing. I've heard that Caroline Jones, he took her under his wing. Zach Brown, he helped out. I mean, Buffett just grabbed these people he really enjoyed and just pulled them with him. Todd Snyder was another one who Buffett got a start with. And crazy, man, just how much influence he had on the industry. I don't think people realize how deep his connections and stuff go in the world. They like, "Oh, that's the party guy, right?" And I'm like, this guy was the core underneath so much stuff. It's crazy, man. But
I agree. Yeah.
But I could go on and on about that. I should shut up now. Let Chris talk.
So what would you like if you were going to rate this one? I guess we weren't going to rate it in here. Like if we were going to rate
it. 8 to 9. I'm actually good. Probably 9. Maybe 9.5. Because this song really put Mac and Jimmy together. So in the world of the Parrot Heads and the world of Buffett, this was a monumental song. This is the song that put those two guys together. So it's a 9.5 to 10 just for that alone in my mind.
That's a good point.
But the song too is beyond that. It's an easy 9. So yeah.
Okay. Well, I remember on Labor Day when he passed away. I can remember I had to mow the grass and I heard the news and I was like, man, this is kind of in a funk, you know. And I got out and started mowing the grass, and I put on a live album. It was from 2004. It was out of Cincinnati. And this song was on that album. And I just remember, I just took, you know, it takes me about an hour and a half, so I was able to listen to a whole live album. And just, you know, I was just in a better mood after listening to that, you know. And it's just like, and that kind of gave me a little time to kind of process it and think, you know what? Jimmy left all this great music for us. I mean, how many live albums are there out there we could just drop whenever we want to? And we all know the guy's best at when he's live. I mean, this studio stuff is fantastic, but his live shows are where he shined, honestly. I'm going to play a little clip from what they did before that song and let you listen to this.
All right.
going to do a little song for you now that Mac wrote. And I was lucky enough to record when I heard it. Tell them about it, Mr. McAnally.
Well, it's a little song about taking pride in what you do for a living. Something I thought I had figured out back in Mississippi a long time ago, and I put it on a little record, and all my friends and family, about 75 of them or 80, bought that record. One of those friends was Mr. Jimmy Buffett. He cut it. He put it on a little record of his. About 750,000 of his friends and family bought that record. And
yay!
Song's called It's My Job.
I've heard that before. What album's that from?
That was actually from the Hawaiian album. I felt like he told that story a little better on that. I listened to a few because he played that song on that tour. Just shows how fiercely loyal Jimmy was to his friends. You know, I mean, here Mac's like, yeah, I sold 70, 80 albums. And then Jimmy's like, you know, like 750,000 albums, which actually is probably a lot more than that after the fact. But regardless, and this kind of just points to what you were saying. I mean, the guy, once you're in the click and he's you're with him, man. And that's the way all these guys were.
Yeah.
And Mac is a tremendous songwriter. And it's a little surprising this was the one hit out of the 80s. I like the song, but man, there's some great songs out there when you think about it.
I know.
I read that too, and that surprised me when I read that. I was like, wow, okay, well, that's a great song. But you know, it's introspective. I love that part where he, you know, kind of talks about his job at the end and, you know, look, observing other people, and then it's his job to go out on the stage and make everybody happy kind of thing. Yeah, it might be a 9. I don't know. I can't debate that if I were going to rate it, but it's great song, and yeah. It does have the best line of any Jimmy Buffett song ever, in my opinion. So you got to boost it for that, right?
That's a great line, man. It really is. Yeah. So, song 4, Growing Older But Not Up, which I'm fully aware of that one now. Played live 193 times, so he got a pretty good turn. First time in June of 1980. Last time played live was in May of 2023, so even closer to his untimely passing. So wow. The dude was still putting out, he was still doing it, man. In May of 2023, still putting out stuff. So, killer tune.
I rounded first, never thought of the worst, as I studied the shortstop's position. Crack with my leg like the shell of an egg, someone call a decent physician. I know Pete Rose, I can't pretend, though my mind is quite flexible, these brittle bones don't bend. I'm growing older but not up, my metabolic rate is pleasantly stuck. Let those winds of time blow over my head, I'd rather
always thought that was sort of a play on the old Catholic. What's up, Chris? You're not.
I was shaking my head. Just the man, it's poetry. It's just even the fade out to the next line. You're just like, man.
Well, I just think about that line stuff. Always that I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead. And yeah. I know that's an old Catholic thing. It has to be that talking about life. He said, you know, don't give me the life after death. Give me the life that's right here, right now. Yeah. So if that means my soul is condemned to stay here, that's fine by me. Just, you know, I'm going to party my butt off and enjoy my time. And I do wonder if he was playing this one live, maybe later towards the end of his career there and end of his life, that he was thinking a lot about this. This song can have a lot of deep meaning to it. If you kind of see the train coming down the track and you know it's coming towards you, and I'm sure he probably was pretty aware it was. I kind of wonder if this song just, the term I like to use, it slaps. It slaps a little more, you know. So yeah. It has to, man. This lyric's growing older but not up. And yeah, it's a great tune, man. I always liked that tune. And, you know, I'd probably put an 8 on that one if I was going to rate that one. You know, I think it's a solid tune.
Yeah, I think it's a solid tune as well. I'd say kind of right in the middle of the road for this album. And you pretty much echoed every line I wrote. The line, die while I'm living, than live when I'd rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead. You nailed it, man. That's typical Buffett poetry right there. The guy, he's a songwriter, and he he's like, hey man, while you're on this earth, enjoy it, you know, don't leave anything on the table. I don't think that guy did. So yeah, I'd probably go 7 maybe on this one myself, but yeah, it's solid tune, man. Very good, you know. So
yeah, I always liked that one a lot, man. It's a you know, we are all growing older, but not up. I don't think my metabolic rate is pleasantly stuck, though. It's more being stubborn right now, so can kind of. Anyways, move on to the next one.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, well, I was supposed to do the intro, aren't I? That's right.
You are.
Jimmy, this is much harder than I thought it was. props to you, buddy. Song 5, The Good Fight. It's a very deep cut. I've set List FM is to be believed. 4 times total in concert. First time in February of 1981. And I guess it didn't play well because it was July of 1981 that it left the tour for good. According to Setlist FM, that wasn't around in the 80s, so we got to go off of whatever algorithms they got. But
what are his, if you look at individual shows back in the early and mid 80s there, are there a lot of like blank shows?
No, there's actually not.
So Jimmy, this is probably Rush, pretty legitimate then.
Jimmy and Rush's, man, that when I was going through their stuff, they're full of information all the way back to the 70s. So I don't know if the fans or good people.
We know the fan base. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So anyways, but yeah, 4 times. So I'm glad we're giving this a little feature on here. It's The Good Fight, right? Yeah.
Side you're wrong. Some people say I'm halfway here. Some people say I'm halfway gone. Jesus, if I had to quit tonight, I'd never know if I was wrong or right. But that's just what you get. You got to go the distance. If you wanna fight a good fight,
listen to that song, you wonder what the good fight means exactly. You know, does it mean an actual fight? Does it mean to keep fighting for your sort of chance to have your utopia in this world? You know what I mean? To not let the jobs and everything overtake your life, to let you just fight to find that little bit of freedom that's your own in this world. Or if you're married, maybe the good fight is keep going until you get it right.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Probably not the first. I don't think he's out there fist fighting people, but I do. I think probably maybe a combination of 2 and 3 there. I don't know.
Some of those rough bars he played back in the day, he might have had to fist fight a couple people.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's interesting to think what the good fight actually means when you think about it. But knowing Jimmy, it was probably fight to not lose yourself. You know, don't let the jobs consume you. Don't let the routines consume you. Don't let this consume you. You know, fight to have your little bit of freedom each and every day. And that's kind of the way I look at it a little bit. So, you know, I probably give that one an 8 too, man. It's another solid tune. I couldn't go any lower than 8 on it. I mean, just a good vibe, good bouncy little groove to it, and just sing along to it. And, you know, so, yeah.
How many plays did you say? 4 on this one?
4.
Wow. So, I feel like this is an underrated tune in his discography. I really do. It's got a catchy chorus. It's up-tempo. I like that key change toward the end there that goes on. And, you know, just listening back to it through the headphones, that guitar solo that's in there kind of has like a bit of a 70s, back kind of harkens back to his country days a little bit. Like it might be like a Telecaster or something. I don't know. But it definitely has that kind of twang to the guitar in that. And I'm looking at the statistics. I see J.D. Souther co-wrote this with him. I'm pretty sure he's the guy that did a lot of stuff for the Eagles, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah, him and the Eagles.
I have to wonder if this wasn't written maybe in the 70s and just something they've been holding on to for a while and decided, okay, let's release it now. Because it definitely feels like something from a little earlier time for him. But solid tune, man. I've always liked it. I don't know where I'd go score-wise, 7.5 maybe, something like that. But really like it. Good song.
I've always kind of thought his 70s actually extended to about Last Mango in Paris.
Yeah, probably.
And then after Last Mangoes, when he got into Florida's, and Florida's is after Last Mango, then Hot Water and obviously Lizard. That's when he started more transitioning than grunge era. He went Calypso when everybody else was going grunge, which is kind of fun. But, you know, I've always kind of thought his 70s didn't truly end at the 70s. They've always kind of carried over into the early 80s to mid 80s. Because you look at this album, you look at the next one, Somewhere Over China, Last Mango, Riddles in the Sand, they all have that country, Gulf and Western sound to them. That, you know, there's a little bit of 80s techno in there occasionally and 80s vibes in there. But this album alone, man, just listen to the songs on this album, you could plop this into the 70s. If you could take a time machine and put this in the middle of the 70s, I don't think many people would think that it didn't belong there.
Nah, if this was on white sport coat, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, seriously, it's got that kind of feel to it.
Actually, any of these songs on here could actually fit in the 70s, you know? So, I mean, it's a very 70s kind of sounding album. So I can see why you feel that way. So, song six, the next one, The Weather Is Here, Wish You Were Beautiful, played live 160 times, first time in February of 81, and last time played live was in March of 2019. Wow. And hit it, Chris.
He's going back to New York. Pack it up and let everyone know. It was something that he should have done such a long time ago. Still time to start a new life in the palm trees. Pleasure was worth all the pain. The weather is here. I wish you were beautiful. The skies are too clear. Life's so easy today. The beer is too cold. The daiquiri's too fruitful. No place like home when you're this far away.
Songfacts.com, Buffett explained, graffiti in the bathrooms of good bars has always been a great source of material. I think this one came from Captain Tony's or the Napoleon House in New Orleans. So, found a graffiti on the wall, made a song out of it.
That was on a wall in a bathroom, The Weather's Here, Oh, You're Beautiful.
According to Songfacts.com.
That's great.
And it's to your debate if it's what exactly the song is all about. You know, like the opening part with about the girl on the plane, I've always wondered if he actually told the girl, you know, the weather's here, I wish you were beautiful. And she's like running away. And he's like, no, wait, don't run away. You know, don't run away. I don't mean you're ugly. I'm just saying, you know, you're not the best, but. What kind of cojones would that take for a guy to have that, you know?
He's probably fairly drunk if he's saying
probably. Or it can mean, the weather is here, I wish you were with me, beautiful. You know, that kind of thing, too. So I've always kind of...
Well, I've never put that spin on it, but I could see that, I guess.
You know, it's like, you, the weather's here, I wish you were with me, beautiful. I wish you could just hang out with me all day long, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, sometimes when I hear a song, and I don't do it often with Buffett, because I don't feel like it's really meant for that. He's not really that kind of songwriter. It's more just a chill kind of music, but sometimes the title comes on and I kind of ponder on it a little bit, like, what does that exactly mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, this one's probably a 9 for me, man, if I was putting a number on it. This is outstanding, excellent, whatever that is for a rating. So
I agree. I'd go 9 as well. I do think it's one of the better songs on the album. I've always loved it. It was on that Ballads, Boats, Bars, Beaches Boats, compilation, beaches, bars, if I remember. Ballads. Yeah. And on that one, I was like, man, I love this song. For those younger Buffett fans, I can't explain how instrumental that album was into getting me into Buffett, because I got that pretty early on, and then I just kind of started filling in the gaps. You know, I was like, wow, this song's on this album, this song's on this album. And I do remember that being a standout on that. Was it the Beaches album that this one was on?
Yeah, it was probably
been Bars. I can't remember. One of the two.
Or Bars. It might have been Bars. It seemed like it fit Bars better than Beaches.
Yeah, you know, this is one here. I love that intro with all the friends and and you know the way that kind of kicks in. One of the most infectious choruses on the album. You know, I love a good chorus. You kind of feel like you're part of his friend group just listening to this. You know what I mean? Like you could feel yourself being there when you listen to it. Yeah, I could argue this is almost perfection for him, but I would probably give it a 9 as well. That said, one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those songs, too, that honestly, it could have had a bigger run in concert. I'm almost sometimes I hear some of these songs, like, I'm not sure why. You know, like, why don't we get drunk? I really enjoyed, and I get why he did it. But sometimes I think maybe that shouldn't have been as in heavy rotation as something like this one should have been.
Agreed.
Coconut Telegraph.
This one gives me kind of the same feeling that Manana gives me, to be honest. Like, I kind of feel
love
like
this damn
the same,
song, man.
I kind of feel like they're playing in the same sandbox, you know what I mean, those two songs.
In case you don't know that reference, Chris was drunk at a concert, two beers in hand, Manana came on.
The very first Buffett show I ever went to on the Fruitcakes tour there.
Yeah. And Manana came on, and he was dancing with those two beers and screaming at the top of his lungs. So, it's a thing of beauty to witness. So, our youth. Gone so quick.
Definitely.
Next up, song 7, Stars Fell in Alabama, and surprisingly 13 times live, February of 81. April of 2015, the last time, and 13 times, you know, compared to what was the fourth on the other one back on. So interesting how that wound up. But yep, let's croon.
I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly. A fairy land that no one else could enter, and in the center just you and me. Dear, my heart beat like a hammer. My arms went round you tight. All stars fell on Alabama. Last night, one more time, boys. Yes, we lived our little drama. We kissed on the dune so wide, and stars fell on Alabama.
From Wikipedia, Stars Fell in Alabama is a 1934 jazz standard composed by Frank Perkins with lyrics by Mitchell Parrish. History of it, according to Wikipedia, the title of the song appears to have been borrowed from the title of the 1934 book of the same name by Carl Carmer. It refers to a spectacular occurrence of the Linoid meteor shower that had been observed in Alabama in November of 1833, the night the stars fell, as reported by the Florence Gazette. There were thousands of luminous bodies shooting across the firmament in every direction. There was little wind and not a trace of clouds, and the meteors succeeded each other in quick succession. One of the earliest popular recordings of Stars Fell in Alabama was by the Guy Lombardo Orchestra. Guy Lombardo's brother Carmen performed the vocals. Recorded on August 27, 1934, it was issued by Decca Records. Richard Hember and his Ritz-Carlton Orchestra also had some success with the song in 1934, and it's been recorded by over 100 artists. So over 100 artists have covered this song. It's a big one, man. I think Bob Dylan was one of them I saw in there. Stars fell on Alabama.
It couldn't be as good. There's no way.
Hey, can't stars fell on Alabama. Yeah, man. You know, one thing, I love Buffett when he does stuff like this. I love Buffett. I love these jazzy crooner, you know, just these velvet suit kind of songs, you know. Like, I can see him in a smoky bar with a purple velvet suit on, just crooning on the stage. And it's
so fun.
I'm not
sure I can visualize that, but...
It's so fun to me, man. I love when he does like Stars Fell in Alabama and Half Drunk's got that on the one of his newest one, or The Life on the Flip Side. It's kind of got this croonerish kind of vibe. I love this kind of schmaltzy sort of croonery Buffett, man. It's so fun. I mean, who in the mid-80s or early 80s would pull out a 1934 song and put it on an album, for God's sakes? Only Jimmy Buffett. I don't know of any other artist that would have the cojones to even try that. If you think about it.
Well, yeah, you're right. He definitely doesn't let people put him in a box, that's for sure.
So I still put an 8 on this one, man. I really like this one. You may not like it as much, but I still.
No, I really do like it, actually. I might go as far as to say it's my sleeper on the album.
Okay, cool.
You know, you said, 14 plays in concert?
13.
I have to wonder if, I don't know how often he actually played in the state of Alabama. I know he kind of had a circuit he did every year, but I wonder if it was like when he was in Birmingham or something, if he'd break this
That's
one out.
I was kind of wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like how many different faces of Jimmy we're getting on this album. And you kind of said it, you know, you got Beach Jimmy, you got introspective Jimmy, you've got, you know, crooner Jimmy here. He just goes so many different directions. And when we were talking off camera there, I was saying, you know, this is probably, this album is something that I don't know if I'd tell somebody ever listened to Buffett, say, listen, let's start with this one. But I do think it gives you a really good wide array of different things this guy can do. And yeah, crooner Buffett. I mean, you don't expect that. You just don't. And he nailed it. You know, I like how he, you know, this kind of takes him back to that Gulf Coast roots here, you know, if you will. That's kind of, you know, what he does on this one. I think that maybe influenced him a little bit. Just an underrated gem, man. And he nails it. His vocals are good on it. It's understated, but it's perfect. So, yeah, I'd probably go about 8 on this one myself. Yeah,
it's one of those albums, too. Like, you know, you wouldn't smack somebody's hand if they start to turn it on. You're like, no.
Right. You know. But it's not the first one you'd go to for, I don't think.
It's not either. Like I would say, if they said, what do you want me to listen to today? I would, you know, to get into Buffett, I wouldn't, may grab this one. But if they had it in their hands and they're about to turn it on, I wouldn't say, don't listen to it. You know what I mean? I would say, sure, yeah. That's a good first one right there. But there are some other ones. Yeah, I agree with you. I could see that would really get you hard into Jimmy if you listen to. But song 8, man, this is a personal favorite of mine. I have always loved and adored this song. It's played live 64 times. Should have been many, many more times beyond that. February of 1981, and last time was in October of 2015. So, ways back.
I see you in all of my dreams. Maybe someday I'll have the means to reach your distant shores. When the need for love, heart and soul are condemning, no longer makes me different from you. Well, I tried to build bridges, but they all fell down, and I've taken to the air on wings of silver, but I always hit.
Yeah, that's one, man. I always think about that song, what island actually means, you know, because it's like, is island just something you're trying, a goal you're trying to reach in life and you can never seem to get there? Or is it, I don't know, or just a literal island that you want to go to crash out for a while? I don't really know. But I love just the vibe of that one, the sound of it, the way the song builds and flows and ebbs and like the, you're like, I think you hear a mandolin in there, and that little solo.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think that's a mandolin solo.
I love,
we could use Jimmy, he can pick that stuff up, but that's what
Jimmy,
I
Jimmy, let us know. But yeah, Island, man, I did an episode on all by itself on my podcast, way in the back. So, yeah, it's in early archives.
That's not the one that got all the play, like, no, Island Boy.
Island Boy is number one on my podcast, folks. Kenny Chesney's Island Boy. And
we're pretty sure that the searches are for that stupid
TikTok thing.
Yeah. That's the idiot Island Boys, guys.
Got me number one.
Totally different, man. Totally different.
Maybe gave me a few fans, but
I doubt it. Those people would not like be fans of Jimmy Buffett.
But like I was telling you when I checked the retention rate on that one, 100% across the board. It never drops. So yeah, I don't understand why Island Boy, unless it's some Kenny Chesney hidden gem that I didn't realize when I did it. But anyways, Island itself, man, is back to it. I did do an episode on that on myself where I dove into that one a lot. So I just always loved that one. When I first heard that song years ago, you know, it's one of those songs that just immediately pops for you, you know.
Yeah.
So it always stands out. That's a 9.5 in my mind. Yeah. You know, I'm going to put a 10 on it because that'd be more fanboying. But, you know, 9.5 easily for that one for me. So
I knew you'd have this one high on your list. I've heard you in the past talk about how it's one of your personal favorites. It's definitely an introspective, you know, we get introspective Jimmy on this one. You're right. That could have a lot of different meanings. And I don't really know exactly. I haven't read all the lyrics, so I don't exactly know what his meaning is. But it's a very good song, back half song. That, I mean, there aren't any dips on this album. There just aren't. It's good from beginning to end. I will say it's one I'm not as familiar with as some of the other ones on this album. But I like it a lot. That mandolin solo, kind of the way that kind of just stops and then kicks into that mandolin solo. Mm-hmm. Love that part. That's kind of why I grabbed that part of the song. I'd probably go about 7 on it myself, but I can see why you like it so much.
My phone went dark on me while I was talking. Here it is. So song 9, the last song in the album, Little Miss Magic. It's another deep cut, man. Played live 18 times. First time in February.
Way too low, man.
1981.
Way too low for this song. Good Lord.
And last time played live is in August of 2021. And probably it's more just a personal song. And maybe that's why you didn't want to play it as much. That's what I'm thinking. So
I guess.
Anyways, let's hit it.
Yeah, she loves to ride into town with the top down. Feel that warm breeze on her gentle skin. She is my next of kin. Constantly amazed by the blades of the fan on the ceiling. Those clever little looks she gives just can't help but be appealing. I know someday she'll learn to make up her own rhymes. One day she's gonna learn how to fly. That I won't deny. I see a little more of me every day. I feel a little more mustache turning gray. Your mother's still the only other woman for me. Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, what you gonna be? Little Miss Magic, just can't wait to see. It's raining, it's pouring, your old man is snoring.
That's a great tune, man. He wrote a song for all three of his kids. He didn't really like give Cameron, his son who he adopted, he didn't get like a song like this one, but Beach House on the Moon has that Cameron's getting logical, not sure what he's going to think, you know. So he does mention Cameron in that one. So they all kind of got their own songs, but he really did give Delaney and Savannah, you know, truly their own tunes with these songs. So, but Little Miss Magic, man, is what can you say? As a dad, you get it.
Yeah.
It makes so much more sense now as a dad.
And
you can feel everything coming out of Jimmy in that one, of what he was going through at the time as a father and what he was running through his head. And it's just, you know, I love how he rhymes skin and kin, you know. I mean, come on, you know, you know, next of kin, you know, and it's, the play on words is really great in that song too. And It's just an amazing tune. So, yeah, it's 9. I wouldn't argue perfection either on that one for me. Maybe a 10. It's somewhere in that. It's in that high ballpark for me too. So,
yeah,
you got some big opinions on it too. So,
man, I'll tell you. Listen, maybe you have to be a parent to get this. I don't know, but I don't know about you, Anthony. I remember back, and it's been 20 years since my daughter was born, but I can remember moments where it was just me and her around and just looking at her and knowing that like everything he sings in this song is exactly how you feel in those moments. You know, it's just knowing that just you two against the world kind of thing, you know, and like, you know, she's going to grow up and fly one day. And that's, it's an emotional song, honestly, when you listen to it. And it's a 10 in my book. I think it's perfection. I think when he does these kind of songs, he just nails it. And this is a tremendous way to close this album. Personally, acoustically, it's fantastic. His vocals are spot on, but just the songwriting, man, that's where he shines. And this is one of his maybe the best song on this album. I'm amazed it's so few concert plays, but it does make sense. Maybe this is just like a thing for him and his kid. You know, maybe that's just. It's not something he wants to share with the world all the time. I mean, he did put it on an album, but you know, it's more than just something he's going to play every show. I get that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I've learned about Jimmy Buffett is that he fills out the audience and he fills out a show. And when he would do a concert, I've heard the band members say that he would just pull songs out occasionally, you know, because he's like, the set list isn't working here. So I'm going to switch up to do something else here to get the audience back in. Mm-hmm. He knew the audience. He knew what he needed. And maybe he tried this song for a bit and just realized that they were going to the bathroom or grabbing beers or, you know what I'm saying? And he's like, I'm losing my audience with this song as much as I love it and what it means to me, but I need something more pep, you know, or something like that, or a different ballad at this point in time. So, but yeah, I've heard some stories of him just like, you know, they're like, well, what are we playing now? You know, the band's like, what are we playing? Okay, follow Jimmy. You know?
Right.
But anyway.
But now this song, man, it's such a good way to close this album. It's seriously one of my favorite Buffett songs there is. And like I said, maybe you do kind of have to, and maybe even an aging period, you know, he's talking about turning gray and like, it's a very, very introspective tune, but it's one of his best. I've always felt that way. One of the reasons I wanted to do this album, honestly.
Yeah, you open this album with arguably is a 10. You close with what is arguably a 10. So, I mean, it's a way to bookend it, man. So,
yeah. All right. You got any final thoughts on this one, Anthony?
Great album. Go listen to it. Enjoy it. That's it. I didn't really write anything beyond much for the album, but
same.
It's a banger of an album. It's up there. That's like, I think once you get beyond Changes in Latitudes, which was his Margaritaville album, and A1A and a few of those really gigantic ones. Songs You Know By Heart was very big for him too.
Yeah.
There are albums sprinkled throughout his career, like this one, Florida Days, Songs from Saint Somewhere, that I think get lost in the shuffle sometimes. And dive into those, man, and listen to them. If you want to truly become a Jimmy Buffett fan, get beyond the big ones and dive into his smaller ones, and you're going to find a lot of great music inside those albums. So that's all I can say for this one, man. It's an amazing album.
Well, Anthony kind of let me take a lead on this week and pick what to review. This album, I can remember I bought it fairly early when we were getting into our Buffett journey back in the day. I think I always liked the cover. I thought it was unique. And back then, you didn't have a lot to go on. So you'd just say, oh, this looks like a cool album. Let's give this a go. But I remember always liking it. It was something that every time I'd put the CD in, I never skipped a song. It was just, I just let it play all the way through. It's one of those that's just kind of very well put together. It just kind of feels like it's like masterly crafted, if you will. I don't know. I like how we get so many different phases of Jimmy. You know, you got the beach Jimmy, you got the dad Jimmy at the end, you got the crooner. Like, I've kind of touched on all that before, but he goes so many different directions, but it shows his range, you know, it shows all that he can do in just 9 songs. You know, this isn't a long album. I don't even know what the time on it is. Have you looked at that? How long is this thing?
It's 30 some minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a short, 32 minutes. I mean, it's a quick listen, man. You can listen to this like on a small, just short commute, you know? I mean, it's not bad at all, and get the whole thing. Yeah, it's just always been kind of a personal favorite. I feel like it's underrated in his discography. I think if you polled most parrot heads, it wouldn't be in their top 10. And it might be. I don't know. But it'd be near the bottom of it if it was. And I understand it because it doesn't have the huge hits like some of the other albums do. But don't sleep on it. It's a great one. And it's something you could just drop in there and just check out and listen, man. You know, that's all you got to do.
Not huge hits. Maybe the most recognizable song. There are some recognizable songs with parrot heads, but they're not like
right
beyond parrot heads. You know, you're not going to get... When people go to grab a Buffett album, they see Margaritaville, they're buying that album. They go see 5 O'Clock Somewhere on Alan Jackson's, they're going to buy that Greatest Hits, Volume 2. Anyways. So what I'm saying, that's the thing. You see Fins on Volcano, you know, or, you know, you're going to Volcano, you're going to grab them. But most non-parrot heads are going to skip right by this one, man, because they don't know some of these songs, which is a shame.
Well, I'll take Jimmy's lead on this part of it because I know how I'm doing myself for mobile. What do you got going on this week, Anthony, on your podcast?
Well, I have now got Coconut Telegraph on Songlines and Tan Lines I Won't Do. I've got Fruitcakes 1 and Fruitcakes 2. I'm doubling up the two episodes on it.
Okay.
And then I'm going to throw one of our old Audible ones on there for the spring break week, I think, One Particular Harbor. I think it's the only one I haven't showcased on my other podcast. Because we've done A1A, we've done One Particular Harbor, and now Coconut Telegraph on the Audible podcast. So, and you know, you and I did an episode on Uncle John's Band.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. And then,
I wonder if the sound, how's the sound quality on that one? That was pretty early.
I'm not sure how well that sounded.
Is it good?
It's fine.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
But I've also started a YouTube channel, Songlines and Tan Lines Fiction Addiction channel. So check out that if you like poetry, you like haiku. You like some of my stories, and it's more of my just sort of my way to branch out with my writing side of things. There won't be hardly any there won't be any Buffett stuff much on there, but it's a sort of a sub channel of Songlines and Tan Lines. So, you know, working on that right now. Something kind of fun to play around with. You know, I'm always trying some new stuff. So,
anyways. This man does it all, folks.
Do it all, make no money, try my butt off, fail miserably. But I've tried YouTube, I've tried blogging, I've tried podcasts, I've tried self-publishing, I've tried it all. I've tried to find my creative outlet in this world. But I guess as long as you're doing something, it's all really matters. So
keep moving forward. That's what Jimmy did, right?
That's all Buffett ever did, man. He just kept moving forward each and every day. So it's all you can ever do, man.
Well, I guess I'll wrap it up here, and I'll do like how's Jimmy always do? I'm sitting here, I've already dropped the ball. I can't remember.
For the Audible Ecstasy podcast.
There. This is Chris.
This is Anthony.
And this is it.
It's hump day on the island. The lines all gone dead. All the juicy news is history. I guess everything's been said. But when the eagle flies on Friday, and the bars break out the rum, then the joint begins to jump in, and you'll hear those hot lines hum. I put it on the Coconut Telegraph, all the celebration and the stress. Baby, put it on the Coconut Telegraph in 25 words or less. I want to hear it on the Coconut Telegraph, all the celebration and the stress.